Let's talk about being prepared. It's freezing, but cranking up the heat is going to cost you a lot of money. Experts previously warned that heating bills will jump to the most expensive in more than a decade, and it's holding true. The average cost to heat a home is projected to rise more than 17.2% or $1,208. What's scary is the cost of heat homes is expected to be 35.7% higher than the 2020-2021 winter. This is why I highly recommend and use the Amazing Portable Heater. It helps quickly transform any chilly space into a cozy haven, giving me a game-changing level of comfort while keeping my money out of the pockets of the greedy utility companies. Its compact size keeps it portable and make it easy to keep me warm near my bed in my living room or on my office desk at work. Plus, it helps pay for itself just with the cost savings on your heating bill in the first month alone. Get warm now for a whopping 55% off this New Year's. Plus, try it risk-free with a 60-day money-back guarantee, a safe and secure checkout, and much more. Order now before this offer ends by going to getwarmnow.com. That is getwarmnow.com. Or click the link in the description. Hi, and welcome to the X22 Report Spotlight. Today, we are returning guest, Kash Patel. You can find Kash's work on Fight with Kash. You can buy his book, Government Gangsters. You can also go to governmentgangsters.com. And I am very happy to have Kash back on the X22 Report Spotlight. Kash, welcome back to the Spotlight.
Hey, thanks for having me back on the show. Looking forward to the convo.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to start off with what's happening with January 6th. And I want to start off with Ray Epps, because what's very interesting about Ray Epps is that we had all the D's defending him. They were saying, you know, why are we picking on him? But they didn't do this with any other January 6th or only him. And then all of a sudden, I guess because a lot of people were bringing it up and, you know, it was getting out there, they decided to bring him up on charges, but he got slapped on the wrist. So what do you think this means? Why did he only get a slap on the wrist when every other January 6er, they've been stuck in prison? I guess they're pleading their case. What do you think happened here?
Well, I think what we need to do is find out, right? Because the Justice Department and the FBI, on such a consequential event like January 6th, shouldn't leave the public with open-ended questions and them saying, oh, there's nothing to see here. Obviously, we don't believe in the two-tier system of justice created by Chris Wray and Merrick Garland for this reason. I mean, Congress has been asking about Ray Epps for, what, 3 years now, maybe longer? Yeah. And we haven't gotten a straight answer. The first time an FBI agent sat down for congressional testimony on Ray Epps, she responded, the head of the counterterrorism division said, I'm unable to answer that question. Not that she couldn't, that she was prevented from answering it. Then, as you said, the public exposure of Ray Epps and the videotapes that have come out showing Ray Epps being the one guy basically chanting and inviting people to come in and do the actions they did on January 6th, he gets charged. And all we need to do really is get Christopher Wray on the stand and ask him, hey, what was Ray Epps' actual involvement with the FBI? No one has answered that question. And that's what I want to know. And I think your question specifically speaks to that because so many people are thinking about it and don't have answers. And for him to get what I think he got probation or something. When you look at the folks that were charged with January 6th, almost 1,000 people, and the folks that were charged with similar conduct as Ray Epps, they all went to prison. That's a disparate sentence. And, you know, from national security world, when I used to be a prosecutor, there has to be a justification for that. And I don't think all of his records from his sentencing were open to the public. That's another thing that has to come out. But what it leaves ultimately, in my opinion, is the quintessential question is, you know, many people have been putting forth the FBI was, quote unquote, involved with January 6th. And for years, they lied about it. Then they finally admitted not only did they have one source at January 6th, they had so many that they had to literally poll the FBI field offices to see how many sources, government taxpayer funded sources, were at January 6th. And we still don't know. Do they know? Maybe. But the critical thing there is, and you know this and your audience knows this, you can't just drop in an FBI source overnight. Right. So whether it's Ray Epps or others, this is a months-long process to validate and verify their background and then find the right point in time and group to put them in. And now the media is being too cute by half because we defeated that disinformation campaign by saying the FBI had no involvement. Now they're saying, oh, we don't know if FBI agents were there, so FBI agents weren't on the ground. We don't know the answer to that because the FBI won't answer it. And it's scenarios like Ray Epps that lead you to believe not only was the FBI involved, now we know its sources, but they probably had undercover officers in and around January 6th, because with a scene that big and with so many groups around, that's the only way the FBI responds. And it also defeats the narrative that the FBI and the U.S. government had no information about January 6th before January 6th. You can't place two dozen sources into that kind of environment for operational purposes if you don't have some intelligence. So unfortunately, it leaves more questions than answers. But until the January 6th Committee 2.0 or whatever they're calling it comes in and forces Chris Wray to answer these questions and provide the documentation of his and any other relationship with the FBI, we're just going to be left wondering. But now we see that of what, 117 code word protected documents were destroyed by the Jan 6 committee. What else right. was destroyed?
That is true. And I know you're saying, let's bring in Christopher Wray, but yeah. I mean, Ted Cruz also questioned an FBI agent and they never seem to answer. Yeah. They always tell you, oh, we can't do this. We have an investigation mm-hmm. or an internal investigation. So asking them questions on the stand, are they really going to answer what we want them to answer? Or are they just going to, you know, go around it and say, we can't do this right now?
Great point. They're going to deflect.
Yeah.
These government gangsters are going to come in and say, oh, I can't. And for whatever reason, the Republican majority in the House of Representatives has kind of bent the knee and said, okay, nothing to do here. We need to remind them that the FBI reports to Congress, not the other way around. And when they stonewall you with that type of tactic, you know, they need to do what we did in Russiagate when we were running that investigation. We sent out 17 subpoenas and however many people we wanted to interview, the attorney general, the FBI director, and they did the same thing. Can't talk about it, ongoing investigation, blah, 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 blah. So you know what we did? We took their money. And I'm not saying shut down the FBI or the DOJ, but I'm saying there's pockets of money that Congress gives them that they can hold and literally fence. Or like, you know, put arms around and say, okay, Chris Wray, you've got a government-funded G5 jet. Well, until you answer this question and provide the documents, that jet is grounded and you're not going anywhere. Oh, and that new FBI headquarters building you're talking about, you are getting zero pennies for that building and that monstrosity until we get Congress to get every single piece of information we want. And the reason I bring it up is because it was the only thing that was successful for us when the FBI and DOJ, Trump's FBI and DOJ, stonewalled us during Russiagate. And the very next morning after we did it, I got like 2,000 pages of documents. I can't remember how many. All of a sudden, they were like, oh, here you go. Here's everything. Please give us our money. And for whatever reason, the Republicans in Congress just want to keep giving and lighting on fire our taxpayer dollars. And they don't want to pull that maneuver. And you know, you got to remind people, Congress controls the purse. Congress controls the agencies and departments like the FBI, and for whatever reason, they've allowed Christopher Wray to break the law and violate, I think my last count was, 6 congressional subpoenas, be it Jan 6th or other events. And I just don't understand how they're allowing that to happen.
Now, you said, you know, with the confidential human sources and how many people were on the ground, this takes mm-hmm. a very long time to plan, maybe like a year yep. or so. So if it takes that long to plan, they must have known what they were going to do. I mean, if they were going to cheat in the election, they were planning this way ahead of time. So
you're absolutely right. And look, Christopher Wray told us in congressional testimony last year mm-hmm. that he had an 80-member election task force that met weekly with the heads of Facebook and Twitter and Google to quote unquote suggest what to censor for election purposes. So that tells me the FBI is already involved with an election cycle. And when you bring up January 6th and you talk about their involvement with that event, I believe the FBI, like you were saying, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, of taxpayer dollars putting these people into play. And your question is spot on. It's not as if the FBI just says, oh, you know what? We've got 40 undercover sources. Just go out and figure some stuff out. They find intelligence, whether it's online or through their just law enforcement operations or through domestic partners like DHS, et cetera. And they say, oh, there's a bad group. There's a group we don't like. We need a guy in there. We need a gal in there. We need online presence here and there. It's a massive lift. And the FBI was caught lying to the world saying, oh, we didn't know anything about January 6th. You can't know nothing about January 6th and have 24 confidential human sources going to various groups from all over the country, airdrop them in there, and then lie to the world about it. It's basically Russiagate all over again. And for whatever reason, Congress hasn't gotten the underlying documents. I really don't understand. And these are some of my friends on Capitol Hill that I used to work for and with, haven't gotten the underlying source documents. And look, I know everybody's going to scream and say, oh, you can't reveal sources. You can't reveal. Nobody's asking for source names. Nobody's asking for source history. The same thing they told us with Christopher Steele when they said, you can't reveal Christopher Steele. I'm asking for the data that shows and exposes the corruption at the FBI. You've been caught. We can black out a source name. No one's going to know. There's ways to do it. But to date, I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, to date, I don't think we've seen one document about it.
Yeah. So do you think this was a coordinated effort, not just with the FBI, but with other agencies?
Well, when you do a lift like that, you know, and I've run sources around America, all over the world, when you do a monumental operation of that size, it's only natural for the FBI to reach out to your local law enforcement, to other law enforcement, DHS and company, and say, hey, we're thinking of recruiting this guy. We got this guy in play over here. And also, you do operational checks, as we call them. You know, is this one of your assets? Can we borrow this guy? Have you had any trouble with this gal or this person? So it's just standard operating procedure when you put that many sources into play that you call all your law enforcement partners, local, state, and federal, and say, this is what we want to do. And January 6th, now we're learning, was the biggest operational event in modern FBI history, literally. When you put into play that amount of sources, that amount of money, and just think about it this way. They've brought 1,000 prosecutions based on that one operation. That's the biggest sweeping criminal enterprise operation that I can think of the FBI's put into play in modern history.
Would you say that there was an insurrection, but not by the Trump supporters? I mean, when you start to look at this and you start to see what they put together, would you say it was them who actually had the insurrection against the United States? And the reason why I say this is Trump was the president at the time. The votes were not certified yet. So they weren't having it against Biden. They were doing this against President Trump at the time. So
No,
wouldn't,
that's fair.
go
Go
ahead.
ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
It's a very interesting point you bring up. And look, we've talked about this on your show previously when I was chief of staff at DOD on, you know, during January 6th. How can President Trump be guilty of insurrection if he told us specifically days before, I'm going to give you 10 to 20,000 National Guard, and we went to Pelosi and Bowser, the heads of the government, because the law requires us from DOD history to go over there, make sure we check in with them and say, we've got 10 to 20,000 guys and gals. Do you want them? And Pelosi and Bowser said no in writing. And 3 years later, and I was the first guy subpoenaed by the January 6th committee, 3 years later, the mainstream media is still carrying out this disinformation campaign on quote unquote insurrection. We finally defeated that one. But what the media is doing is saying, oh, Trump's guilty of insurrection in the media. Please don't vote for him. But you point out, I think quite astutely, that President Trump actually acted lawfully. And if you don't believe us, look at Biden's DOD Inspector General report, Biden's DOD Inspector General report that said that Trump DOD acted appropriately, swiftly, and lawfully when it comes to deployment of the National Guard before, during, and after January 6th. That's his finding. And it's the finding because that's what the facts support. But when you have figures like Pelosi and Bowser and the rest of the radical left who wanted that narrative, you got to think these people aren't dumb. They seeded that narrative 3 years ago for a purpose. It was their ace in the hole that they were going to release if and when Donald Trump ran for president again. It's not a coincidence. Now they've taken it to the courts of law to try to illegally remove Donald Trump from the ballot, even though the 14th Amendment doesn't apply to presidents of the United States, then their next step after being defeated in places, and they're going to go down like in Colorado, Minnesota, Michigan, et cetera, they're going to get the media to say, Donald Trump committed an insurrection. Doesn't matter what the courts of law find, don't vote for him. But as you said, isn't it them that did it? And I think that's a brilliant question to be asking.
Yeah, I mean, when people start to look at this now, and since they're deleting, you know, the encrypted files, I mean, I don't know what's in them. I don't know if you have any idea what's in them, but the only reason you delete something is to cover up what actually happened.
And right. And just to remind folks, you know, that information doesn't belong to Congress, doesn't belong to the FBI. It belongs to the American people. When a congressional oversight committee acquires information executing its constitutional and oversight purposes, that's our stuff. They're doing it for us. We are owed it under the auspices of congressional authority, but that's for us. And it's not the only time it's happened. Look, in the Colorado case against President Trump and elsewhere, these judges, like the January 6th committee, excluded information of innocence that exonerates President Trump. They didn't want to talk about Mayor Bowser's letter where she declined the National Guard. They didn't want to talk about Biden DOD Inspector General report that exonerates President Trump and the DOD's actions. You know, they didn't want to talk about Nancy Pelosi. She was too busy making a movie during January 6th, but right. Let's put that aside. They didn't want to talk about her telling the Capitol Police, absolutely not. We don't want the security that President Trump has offered us, because they wanted the narrative out there to kneecap President Trump if and when it was appropriate. And now they're unrolling it or unraveling it, excuse me, and letting it out. And they're destroying evidence, as you pointed out, of innocence. Now, Loudermilk, who's running this committee, the congressman, has said they have acquired the data, but they can't access it. Like, they found the back door of the deleted data, but Benny Thompson and company won't give them the passwords to access the encrypted files. So here's my thought. Subpoena Benny Thompson and Liz Cheney and Kinzinger and Adam Schiff and Swalwell and everybody else that was on that committee. Get their emails, get their communications from Capitol Hill and put them out to the public. Because like you said, this corruption was coordinated, didn't happen spontaneously. And those guys are the ones that know what documents they deleted and destroyed. So they probably left a trail and we got to get it.
Yeah, hopefully they can. I just wanted to ask you this question. I heard or read something that General Milley was involved with holding back the 10,000 National Guard troops, that he went to the Pentagon and his people in the Pentagon to make sure that the 10,000 National Guard troops wouldn't be dispersed or something like that. Do you know anything about that?
Chairman Milley, right, and any chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is by law precluded from entering the national chain of command. What does that mean? It means he's there under the 1951 act passed by Congress about chairmen and the Joint Chiefs of Staff to advise the president and the SecDef when asked about military matters. That's it. He has no operational authority. He cannot, under the law passed by Congress, go out there and say, go do X, you do Y, and I want to withhold troops. He can advise that, but he can't do that. And excuse me, when I was there as chief of staff, I don't recall him holding up the National Guard. It's not as if he had the authority to do so. The only reason the National Guard was quote unquote held up is because Pelosi and Bowser said, no, don't send them. And then frantically on January 6th, when they finally realized the error of their ways, they said, please send them. So we sent them. But remember, Milley's the guy that said, I'm going to called his CCP counterpart and said, if we attack you under President Trump, I'm going to call you and give you a heads up. That's actually illegal to do what he did. So there may be some credence there, but from our perspective, me and the SecDef, there was no operational message he was giving that was overriding the decision of the Department of Defense.
So, I mean, now that all this information is coming out, we're seeing the videotapes. I think Darren Beatty just put out a video showing that the police weren't doing anything with the pipe bomber. They really didn't care. I mean, it seems like the whole story is completely falling apart. And I don't know who believes this anymore, because you're seeing so much evidence to the contrary that it makes no sense anymore of what they've been telling us. Yes, in the very beginning, with all their propaganda and, you know, the video that they showed and people got very emotional about it. All that has completely disappeared at this point. So that emotion and everything that you had back then is now being replaced with actual facts and documents or missing documents. And now I don't, I think this whole thing is just completely falling apart. And if they plan something like this for a year or so before the election, do you think that they're doing something now for the next election?
Yes. To take your answer reverse, I think the FBI and DOJ have shown us, even though they go out there and say, we don't interfere in presidential elections, they can't help themselves. Whether it's Russiagate, Hunter Biden's laptop, which, oh, by the way, is now real in case you missed the news headline. Yeah. I mean, of course, you didn't, and neither did your audience. But things like that are election rigging mechanisms from our law enforcement community that have weaponized our system of justice. January 6th, no different. The way people are being treated and prosecuted in many instances is unconstitutional. In this instance, let's talk about the pipe bombing that you brought up. It's a great example. The vice president-elect of the United States, if we're to believe the FBI's narrative, was almost blown up in Washington, D.C. Just think about that. That is a massive criminal enterprise. And 3 years later, you're telling me the FBI and DOJ don't have a suspect? How is that possible? The premier agency of law in the world who has an individual on CCT footage going in and around that area and then taking the subway out to Virginia, the FBI doesn't have one single person of interest, one single arrest. And when you have the great reporting that Darren Beatty just did, you got to ask yourself, and Congress should be asking these questions of the FBI, what the heck happened? Did you have a source working that operation? The FBI hasn't answered that. Mm. And that would be another way that the FBI continues to meddle in matters of elections. And look, they could come out and end these conversations overnight, the FBI. Here's everything we got. We had no involvement. We had some involvement. The public has a right to know. But Chris Wray is such an institutionalist government gangster that he thinks the FBI can do no wrong. And under his leadership, he thinks they have done no wrong whatsoever. Let's put aside the time that he used the FISA court 275,000 times illegally in 1 year to investigate Trump supporters. Or the time that he told the banks, if there's a MAGA transaction, please flag it for us and let us know. So this is why we don't have trust in our FBI, just to give you two quick examples. But it always goes back to Congress, because right now we don't have another lever in government to pull for accountability. And is anyone in Congress asking these questions and demanding the documentation about the pipe bombing? Is anyone in the Democratic Party asking why their vice presidential candidate, who was almost blown up, how there is no suspect charged with the crime of almost killing a vice president of the United States? I mean, these are reasonable questions, and Congress just is, I don't know if they're asleep at the wheel, but they're just not doing what they need to do for us.
Well, it seems like Congress hasn't been doing quite a bit for a long time, and I guess that's why their approval rating is very, very low. I mean, we just mentioned this, but I mean, if, like I said, if they plan something for the 2020 election, I mean, what do you think they're going to do for the 2024? Because there's no way they're just going to say, oh, look, Trump won. Okay, we're done. That's great. He's back in, because you can hear a lot of people, they're panicking over this. They're, you know, if he gets back in, Trump's going to ruin democracy. If he gets back in, you know, we're going to prison. He's going to round people up. This is what you hear all these people talking about. And you can see that they're afraid. They're nervous. They're panicking over this. So what do you think they will do to try to stop him?
I think we're seeing pieces of it roll out. Okay. One, they learned their lessons from Russiagate. So they're going to double down and use the law enforcement and intelligence community system in a way where they think they can't get caught, because we caught them last time. So what they're doing is they're rolling out, as we talked about earlier, the whole insurrection legal play, which they're losing. Mm. So they're rolling out the insurrection disinformation campaign. And what we saw, I think it was NBC maybe a week or two ago, issued what I believe is the government, the deep state's play to take out Donald Trump. He's going to be a dictator. He's right. going to seize the military. And so my question is, what evidence do you have to support that? When did Donald Trump ever even come close during his presidency to taking the military. He ordered the Department of Defense and us to transition to the Biden administration. We ran the largest transition in U.S. history. President Trump told us to do that. You know, let's put aside his national security achievements. Did he ever seize the military for personal purposes or ask them to do anything? No, but the media doesn't care about that. They want to scare Americans away from the vote. And Joe Biden and his administration could come in. Of course, they're not going to do this and say, there's no evidence to support that claim. But they want that narrative out there because they think it's going to scare voters away from Donald Trump. They tried everything else. And look, I don't know what the next play after that is going to be, but they've been working on it for 3 years, and there's no way the FBI and DOJ stay out of this. They're already in it with their prosecutions, basically, of Donald Trump and trying to take him out on a presidential election year. But I think they're going to be cooking up something else. They already have. We just haven't seen its deployment.
Well, it's very interesting that you mentioned the military, because Biden continually mentions that, you know, to, you know, come after him, you won't be able to because he has F-16s. So he's continually telling everyone that he has an F-16, you have a, you know, a rifle, and you can't go up against an F-16. So do you think Biden might use the military? Will it be the opposite of what they're talking about?
Well, generally, when it comes to the radical left, they always accuse us of things that they're actually guilty of. Weaponizing the system of justice, prosecuting baselessly their political opponents, putting free speech supporters in and around January 6th in prison, going after your political enemy who dares to say we're MAGA or America First Patriots. So, you know, when Joe Biden says, well, first of all, when he says anything, it's almost impossible to understand. But when he says statements like this, the media lauds him for it. And they're like, oh, yeah. You know, Joe Biden, who has destroyed the Department of Defense and our military and our national security, he's the one that's somehow going to be able to utilize it to make sure he prevents Donald Trump from illegally coming into office. That's going to be their narrative. So for them, he's justified in doing anything he wants with our military, so long as it, you know, and that's it. It's the get Trump narrative. How are we going to, and who is going to be the person or group that comes in and prevents Donald Trump from returning to the presidency? And if they fail in that matter, they're working on 17 different things to kneecap him when Donald Trump becomes president.
If you look at what's happening out in the Middle East and you look at our open borders, I mean, there's a lot of people out there saying, you know, we're ripe for something to happen here in the United States. And if something does happen, let's say it's a Houthi terrorist or it's someone from Iran. I mean, I don't know, Hezbollah, whatever. If something does happen here, would he be able to call out the military to have them on U.S. soil? If let's say there is a terrorist that made it through, I mean, it would pretty much shut down his open border argument, because if they came over the border and they're terrorists, that would kind of screw everything for him. But if something does happen here in the United States, could he use the military and have them on U.S. soil? Could he say that we were attacked somehow?
Well, look, that's my fear. And you don't have to take our word for it. Chris Wray and Mayorkas testified to Congress a couple of months ago under oath that at least 24 known foreign terrorist affiliates have illegally come in through the southern border during the Biden administration. And they, FBI and DHS, don't know where they are. Literally, they've lost them. How scary is that?
So they don't know where they are in this country.
They don't know where they are. And I don't believe that number for a second. You're telling me 11 million illegal immigrants have come in and only 24 of them are foreign terrorists? The CCP, Iran, and Russia and terrorists are seeding these people in through our southern border for the specific purpose of coming at us domestically, like you're talking about. And they'll come into our communities and just wait. And they'll hang out there and they'll do what they did before 9/11 and go to places like San Diego and become members of our everyday society until they are told operationally it's go time. And that's what you're talking about. So they're here because Biden let them in because of his disastrous southern border. And, you know, God forbid if they were to do something, I don't think there's anything Joe Biden could do to safeguard this country. But of course, you would now then see, ironically, the largest, you know, mobilization of the National Guard. Everybody would be like, oh, look at what the National Guard can do. And then the FBI would, of course, come in and try to Bigfoot everybody else and say, we've got everything under control. we're going to go get the bad guys. And then you have people like Mark Milley and Lloyd Austin and Joe Biden go drone strike children and thump their chests and lie to the world about how good they are at defending this country. These are the people, the adults. These are the adults that are in charge of our national security. And so if there was a domestic terrorist event in America, I don't believe for one second Joe Biden and the FBI would have the ability to track down the perpetrators and hold them accountable and put them to justice.
So did you just say that the National Guard would be mobilized if something happens? They're the first one in the front line?
Well, legally, under the Constitution, you can't deploy uniformed military soldiers domestically. Posse comitatus, Supreme Court case, constitutional law is very clear. Like I at DOD, I couldn't, if there was an event like you're talking about in America, you know, let's go back to 9/11. The military wasn't deployed. National Guard was deployed to augment and assist local law enforcement and federal law enforcement with, you know, day-to-day security and what we call the zeros and the ones. But they're not going to be there's no force we can deploy domestically per the Constitution to do that. Now we can, and what should happen is with an attack like that, if it were to occur, there's going to be some international nexus. There's going to be some terrorist organization somewhere, and that's what the military would be able to operationally get after.
So let me ask you this. I mean, Trump, he was giving an interview, and he says his personal opinion is that Biden is going to drop out before the election. Is that your opinion also? You think Biden will not make it?
I do. I don't think Biden's the Democratic nominee. And I think the radical left has already been planning to get him out of there. And it's not going to be Kamala Harris either. They're sidelining them. They've already basically told her, you're not it. And if you watch anything she does, she's like the most dejected human being in any interview she does after that stupid cackle she has to respond to every single question of substance she's asked. So I think I honestly think the deep state, the same folks that are setting up Donald Trump or trying to kneecap him, are the ones that are going to take out Biden. Now, whether it's because he commutes the sentence or pardons Hunter for all the criminal conduct that's now coming out, and that's his off-ramp, I don't know the exact maneuver, but I would say in the next 60 to 90 days, they're going to airdrop in a new candidate because they, the deep state, know that they have no shot with President Biden. I don't think they have a shot with anyone, but they have no shot with President Biden in defeating the momentum Donald Trump has created around the country and the desire that Americans have for his policies to come back into play for national security and the economy. There's not one person running who has a better policy, a better message, and a better movement than 45.
So how is Biden going to do it? Is he just going to say he's going to drop out? Because that would look terrible on the world stage. Like, hey, by the way, I'm not going to run because, you know, everything I did was terrible and I destroyed America and I decided not to run. I mean, for those Democrats that are still, you know, go Biden, how is he going to explain to everyone why he's not running? Because every point up to right now, he's been saying, no, he's the candidate. He's the candidate. He's the candidate.
Right.
And now all of a sudden he's going to drop out.
Look, the Democrats, the one thing they're good at is unifying against a common enemy. And their common enemy is Donald J. Trump and his movement. And what they'll do is they'll provide Joe Biden with an off-ramp. And whether it's that, you know, we're going to pardon your son after they, of course, charge his son with even more crimes, which I think are coming. Whether it's that and he says, okay. And then they're going to go out and glorify him in the media and say, look, we're going to tell everyone in the world, you were the guy that saved us from Donald J. Trump. Thank you for doing that. You're going to be a historic legacy. They're going to give him the golden parachute. Now, I don't know if he's going to be able to comprehend that because he can't literally, put together one single sentence as a commander in chief, but they're going to create the narrative for him. I don't know the exact mechanism of how they're going to do it, but they're just going to literally say, you're not it. This is our money. We're going with this person. And that's going to be it.
So who do you think that person's going to be? I mean, and the New York Post actually put out an article, I think it was Cindy Adams, who said, you know, they're going to sneak in Michelle Obama. Newsom, I mean, when we start to look at all the different candidates, like Newsom, I mean, DeSantis destroyed him during that debate. I don't know if he's able to do it. I mean, they might throw him in. Pritzker, I think he's a failing governor in Illinois, and I don't know how much popularity he has. So, I mean, in your opinion, who do you think they will bring in to replace? It has to be something that someone that is popular, someone that holds a lot of weight, I guess someone that is like unscathed, or, you know, there's no like scandal, corruption, that someone halfway clean, I think they need to bring in.
Well, I don't think they have anyone that's quote unquote unscathed, and I don't think they care. I think it's going to be Gavin Newsom. I think they think he's the, you know, JFK of their time. I mean, this guy destroyed California, but they don't care. They own the media. They've glorified this guy for the last decade. He's essentially been kind of running for president. I mean, this guy hosted Xi Jinping in California. This is how out of their mind they are, and brought him to American soil and said, oh, look at the great job you're doing. And I think he's the guy. I don't know if Michelle Obama and the Obamas are going to want to do something like this again, because are they going to want to be the ones that destroyed their own quote unquote legacy by losing to Donald Trump? I don't know that they jump in. I think the more likely candidate is Gavin Newsom, who's been basically their quote unquote white knight in this. And he's been shadowing around and kind of campaigning and raising money. And he's got name recognition, you know, for the Democrats and the radical left. He's the guy. He's the guy that will run 4 years down the road if Joe Biden were to, God forbid, ever get a second term. So he's the guy they're going to drop in now, in my opinion.
So do you think, I mean, now they're talking about Disease X. They're talking about, it seems like they're going back to the same playbook as with COVID, where they're going to try to push in, you know, the mail-in ballots, the drop boxes and everything like that. Do you think as we approach the election and they realize, because I do believe that Trump has a lot more people with him now than he even did back in 2020. I think this goes far beyond what he had back then. Do you think it will be possible for them to cheat on a scale like they did in 2020 if his numbers are, you know, 120, 130, 140 instead of just 70 or 75 million? Will they be able to actually bring that candidate to where they need that person to go and win the election? And if they can't do that, there's a lot of people talking about this. Do you think they will actually try to cancel the election? Not saying that they can, but do you think they might try?
Look, it's only January. It's not even February, right? We've got, my math sucks, 9 months, 10 months till the election. They're going to try a million different things between now and then. The deep state and the radical left are going to join forces like they always have on their Get Trump mission and use the FBI, use the DOJ, use the intelligence community, use the DOD to put out disinformation campaign after disinformation campaign out of Donald Trump. The terrible thing about the deep state and the radical left, when they combine forces with their conspirators in the media, is they're not doing one thing. They're doing 40 things. And here we are trying to figure out the top couple of things to sort of expose that corruption. And they're not going to stop. And they're funded by George Soros and his lunatic son, who, by the way, posted a picture of a bullet hole and 47, a picture of $47. Notating President Trump, and they're going to call for, they have called for violence. You know, they're going to call for a terrible scenario to play out for Donald Trump, and they're going to justify it in the media by saying, ah, it's okay. It's, you know, it's him, whatever, as if that were ever the answer. So between that narrative of extremism and physical harm and utilizing the deep state, they're going to, I wish I knew all the stuff, because then we could talk about it here and expose it. And we don't have a FBI or DOJ we can rely upon to go do that. And when you have U.S. attorneys like Matt Graves in D.C. saying there's another 1,000 arrests we're going to make for people who just showed up on January 6th, they're not even hiding it anymore. They're coming out in your face narrative, punching the MAGA America First movement and saying, we're going to take you out. We're going to use law enforcement to take out not just Donald Trump, but all of his supporters. They're telling us that publicly. What are they doing behind the curtain with the people that have scripted everything from Russiagate on? That's the scary part to me that we can't figure out just yet. And the question is, are we going to figure out in enough time to secure the next election that you're talking about? And I think the only way you do it, and I think President Trump's been out there saying it, is you win by so much and you win so big that you neutralize any of these lines of efforts, illegal efforts they're utilizing against the Trump movement to take our election away from us. I know it's kind of a simple answer to a complex question, but I think if you can build a movement like you're talking about to 100 plus million voters, There is no stopping it. And will they? I don't think they'll try to quote unquote cancel the election. I think they'll try to neutralize it by rigging the election with another con job that they come up with. And I just don't know exactly what the tier one effort is for them right now, other than everything they're already running on Jan 6, DOJ, on FBI, on Get Trump, on baseless prosecutions, whatever it's Georgia, New York, DC, elsewhere. They've already cooked up something else.
So you mentioned Alex Soros and the picture of a bullet hole and him, you know, it was $47. I even think that one of the bills was a silver certificate that,
Yeah, it was.
So do you really think he's sending a message like, you know, I mean, you know, it's time to take him out?
I mean, look, just look at it this way. You know, what if, I don't know, pick a Republican conservative media figurehead that, say, Steve Bannon put out a tweet or something of a glass window with a bullet hole and $46 next to it. The mainstream media would lose their mind. And the thing with Soros is he's the guy funding all of these operations. They're not going anywhere. They have billions of dollars being pumped into all of the radical left-wing candidates and representatives and senators. And they have billions of dollars coming in to companies that are working with the FBI and DOJ and influencing Facebook and Twitter. And I don't care what anyone says. All those big tech companies are still getting paid by government-funded contracts to quote unquote secure the election. Chris Wray just testified to it like last month. So I don't know how you neutralize that, but going back to your original question of, you know, do you think they're talking about, they are talking about it. There's actually media that have talked about, you know, God forbid, the passing of Donald Trump, and not by like natural causes. So they are actually justifying this sort of violence, this sort of ultimate weapon, because it fits their Get Trump narrative. And when you have the biggest checkbook in the world, Soros and his kid, putting out disgusting information like that, that will lead to violence, maybe that's it. Maybe that's their ultimate weapon, that they're going to somehow justify violence against Trump and Trump supporters if that's what it takes to defeat him. Maybe they're going to say, we can seize the Constitution and perform this duty and have Joe Biden or whoever the candidate is come in and be the one that quote unquote enforces the law.
You know, it's very interesting that Alex Soros put this up because I remember Trump, he was being interviewed by Tucker, and Tucker actually asked him, you know, are you worried about assassination? And he never really answered the question when Tucker actually asked him the question about assassination. Do you think Trump has enough protection to protect him or enough information to protect him against something like this?
You know, the folks around him are the best of the best. And, you know, I've gotten to know them over the years, and I think they're doing an immensely wonderful job. And it's only going to get harder. So I have faith in them. And, you know, but you're right, though. It just takes one crazy to come in at somewhere and sometime down the road when he sees the bullet hole picture, when he sees the fake news media narrative that it's somehow okay to put forward violence if the target is Trump and Trump supporters. So what we need to do is sort of help, you know, the president defeat, expose that narrative and defeat that narrative, because not only is it unconstitutional, it's just the simple wrong thing to physically harm another individual for personal gain. And to use the government to do that is a way they would rig another presidential election. So we got to go out there and I think help President Trump by, you know, talking about this evil that they're putting into the bloodstream. You know, they always talk about how Donald Trump is quote unquote poisoning the bloodstream, but they're the ones calling for violence. And we have to be the ones that shut that down. And I think Donald Trump's handling it brilliantly. And, you know, I hope that continues.
Yeah, me too. Cash, thank you very much for being on the X22 Report Spotlight. Once again, if people wanted to buy your book and watch and look at everything that you're doing, where should they go?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Go to governmentgangsters.com or anywhere books are sold, Amazon for Government Gangsters. Bestseller, Donald Trump called it the blueprint for 2024 and destroying the deep state. And there's only one place you'll find me, at Cash, at KSH on Truth Social. I think my publicist told me yesterday there was some fake Twitter account with my name on it. It's fake. It ain't me. But come over to Truth Social and hang out.
Great. I'll put all the links at the bottom of the video. Once again, Cash, thank you very much for being on the Spotlight. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time. Great combo, as always.
Yes.